I'm Bea, I'm a compulsive overeater and literally right up to about 5 seconds ago, and even now, I have no idea what is going to come out. You guys get all of me. I am 31 months today out of relapse. And I tell you how insane this disease makes me. In my last relapse, it was about 4 months, and I managed 2 days of abstinence, but I couldn't make them consecutive. Just couldn't do it. And my big idea, not a good idea, my idea was, if I sit here, if I sit in this chair, and I don't move, then I won't eat. Oh, look, I'm at the door. And this has been towards the tail end of lockdown during the pandemic. I don't know if you remember it. This is in the southwest. There was a red weather warning, so the storms were so bad. If you go outside, chances are something might happen and you will die because the weather was so bad. And so my disease took me out the door during the red weather warning to go down the road and get binge food and then come back and binge my face off. And that is how I run in this disease. And it was during that relapse that I realised I was dying. I came to LA in 2005, left in 2 years later, stayed away for 4 years and came back in 2011. And I've been, ever since, I haven't been abstinent that whole time, but I kept coming back for, what's that? Oh my God, that's like 14 years now. And, I've forgotten what I was saying. Oh my God, I knew this would happen, but that's okay, it happens. Dying, yeah. I'd always been told that this was a fatal disease. Not only was it progressive, but it was fatal. My experience proved that because I'd never had. I mean, there's powerlessness, and there is like, you haven't got a hope in hell. And it was hell, and I had no hope. And it got to the stage where I would sit in my room binging, and my resting heart rate is around 50, 60 beats per minute, and I wear this awesome fitness tracker. And one day, I just caught sight of it when I was binging, and my heart rate was in the triple digits, and I hadn't moved out of my chair, but it was as if I'd be like power walking down the road, and I would get these pains in my chest, not heart attack pains, but you know, if you take your hand, it's going to be sore, right? And this is what my heart was doing inside my chest. Boom, 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 boom. 100 odd beats per minute. And I knew that I wasn't going to stop until I was dead. Or I got something that was going to make me dead. Or both at the same time. I didn't know. And you know exactly what I did. I carried on. I carried on eating. Because I didn't have any choice. And I'm the kind of person who, you talk about rock bottoms and if the pain gets bad enough. And for me, it's if the shame gets bad enough, or the potential for shame gets bad enough. And I'm in another fellowship, and my sponsor in that fellowship, she knew I was in relapse, and she was like, you need to let her sponsor in OED. But I just couldn't tell her again that I hadn't bothered, so I'd gone as a sponsor. And prior to that, I got a sponsor because I didn't want to go out of my clothes. And the first time I came in, I think that was fear, but it doesn't matter what my motivation is, I've learned. It doesn't matter why I come, or why I stay, or why I do what I need to do. I have no choice because there's no other way for me. There is no other way. I have tried so many things. And there is nothing I can do about this disease but submit, surrender, give in, cave, just throw in the towel for a spiritual solution. And I Man, I struggle with that. I do. At one point, I got myself back-to-back religious sponsors because I needed to be working with someone I knew had a faith, somebody I respected. Because I went to church as a kid. I had to go to church as a kid. And I saw the joy and the love of God that people had on their faces and the lightness of spirit. And I can still see the church, and I wanted that so bad. I really wanted that. And there was one time they were going to do the whole whatever with the thing. And I went up because I wanted what they had. And I didn't have it in me. And once, you know, when I was little, some of my favourite books were like bedtime stories, you know, kind of like, Bible bedtime stories. Because I wanted that. I wanted that conviction. I wanted that certainty. I wanted that love and that support and that encouragement, because it didn't happen in my home. Oh my God, no way. I wanted that safety, and that didn't happen in my home either. And I couldn't get it. I couldn't get it in a church. And I guess I found it in food. Sometimes with other substances, sometimes with people, sometimes with just other behaviours, but primarily in food. My entire life, as far back as I can remember, food was... Food and fear were my twin higher powers. Food and fear. I was in fear all the time. I didn't know it though, but in hindsight, absolutely. You know, fear of what you thought of me, fear of not fitting in, fear of what might happen at home, fear of not being good enough, fear of just everything. Fear of you seeing me. Fear of you seeing me, the me that isn't good enough, the me that is like, what in God's name did you put me to do stuff for? Are you crazy? I didn't want you to see that. I don't want you to see me. And food, just like, shut it up. It was a miracle. It was my miracle. It was a miracle that my tiny little youthful brain found to the unease I had with me in the world. And then it turned on me because of shame, because I didn't want to be big anymore. I didn't want to be out of control. I didn't want to be... I didn't like to be different. I tried so hard to control my weight as an adult. So hard. I just couldn't do it. The successes got smaller and smaller and smaller, and the revamp weight gain got bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, till I ended up like 3 stone heavier than when I started trying. And then I came to OA in 2005. I had everything though. I had the new job, the new home, the new husband, people like me, people respect me, yada yada yada. Ticking boxes, left, right and centre. And I still couldn't stop here, because I still wasn't right on the inside. Something was still missing. And I'm going to tell you now, like I said, I haven't been abstinent for the entirety of the last 20 years, no chance. But I saw what I saw. It sounds weird to say, but I saw what I saw in church. I saw joy. I saw happiness. And I found hope. I found hope. But where I lived, we had this thing where we shared a message in the meeting, and the message on sponsors. So when I was in and out of food, I thought I was the only one in and out of food, and the shame took me out for 4 years until shame brought me back, thank God. And then I was in and out, in and out, in and out of food. And I'd worked the steps quite a few times. You know, I've been to a hardcore retreat where I did it in a weekend. You know, I have prayed, and I have done service, and I have sponsored, and I have weighed and measured, and I have ticked boxes. I have ticked take a group of steps. Super, I felt something super fast for me. Super fast. And all of a sudden I realised, hang on a minute. It's not my job to do the food. I was like, whoa. It's like nobody had ever said. It's like, did you just sit back and look, what happened? It wasn't my job. I just did the work and ate the plan. Did the work, ate the food on my plan. Did the work, ate the food on my plan. Went to the meetings, did the service, did the phone calls. I just did what was asked of me. And the food took care of itself. And my body weight took care of itself. I didn't think about it, I didn't have to worry about it. I just did it. And then I got to a healthy body weight, and that was just like a revelation and ridiculously terrifying. And then I got to the conclusion of the 12 steps, not the conclusion, but I did the work to learn how to do this, to learn how to live, to learn how to eat, to learn how to be, to learn how to love. And then it was like, now you've got to do it like a grown-up man. Now you've got to do it like an adult. And what am I going to rely on to do that? To be God, it had to be that power, because you know, I said I struggled, because it's like, I can't see you, dude, I can't see you, I can't feel you, I can't hear you. I never had anyone to trust. How do you expect me to trust you? Well, first I've got my choice, I've got no other resources, and second, my husband's kind of sneaky, and these things happen. People do things, people say things. I do the right things, and the right things will happen, which is what I was told in 2005, and I did not know they were speaking about God or my higher power or God in my understanding. I was told, have your own conception of God. I compared and despaired up until a couple of weeks ago, and my sponsor said to me, I know, actually she didn't, but what I discovered was that I have the higher power that I need. It's not the one I wanted. I'm not sure I wanted one. It definitely wasn't the one I was looking for. This part of mine transformed into the feminine in the middle of a second call, out of the blue, like did not see that coming. I have the power that I need. I have the love that I need, I have the support that I need, the guidance I need, the encouragement that I need, the abstinence that I need, and the healthy body weight I struggled and fought so hard for. And I didn't have to do anything except show up. And I do what somebody else suggested. It really is a miracle. And I've got 1 minute, right? What do you want? If you do struggle with the concept of a higher power, or the concept of God, or believing, or wanting to believe, or being willing to believe, it is not a bar to recovery. In this program, it is not a bar to abstinence, it is not a bar to acceptance, it is not a bar to love. It took me 17 years to understand that my higher power was going to solve my problem. And it took me 17 years, thank you. It took me 17 years to believe it, and I believe it today. I believe it today. I'm still a skeptic. That's all right. That's okay. Sometimes I'm still like, was that you? I don't know. But I know that I abstained yesterday and the day before and the day before and the 13 months and 27 days before that, and the day before that, I couldn't. And that's good enough for me, not even there. Okay.